Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we are happy to be here with you this morning. Wow, since I've been away, we've changed our radio music, and Steve's gone a little headbanger-ish on us.
A little bit.
I wouldn't say it's headbanger-ish per se.
Well,
but
you know, slightly.
Death metal.
It's got a little more, you know, giddy up to it, let's say.
In college, for a while, I had a headbanger boyfriend, and we would watch the MTV Headbangers Ball on Saturday night.
Do you have pictures of you and this headbanger's boyfriend?
Well, the headbanger's boyfriend. No, he was my boyfriend.
Do you have pictures of you and the headbanger
boyfriend?
Yeah, I do.
What was his name?
Dave.
Dave.
Yeah, I went to 4 Def Leppard concerts during that time.
We might need to post pictures.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Dave.
We're happy to be here this morning. We've got everybody's favorite managing editor, Joe Haley, here. Joe, happy to see you.
Good to see you.
Andy Cohn, a.k.a. Captain Killjoy, is here. I'm sure you're going to be killing Joy all day today.
I'm not going to kill any Joy. I'm bringing the Joy, baby.
Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine, is here. You've been hard at work on the Advantages Mid-September Gift Guide.
Yes.
So we'll be excited to hear about that.
How hard at work was she when she was on vacation?
I was on vacation and everybody else was working on it.
One funny vacation fact. I also was on vacation last week, Ocean City, Maryland, driving down the street. And who's walking by holding hands with her husband but Kathy Houston?
It was me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go
there
figure.
You have it.
So the little thing we've learned is that Kathy and her husband hold hands.
They do, on the side of the road.
They actually walk.
Steve Hawk is here, and he's going to be producing some wonderful sound effects for us today. And
he
Vinny
always gives
Driscoll,
applause to himself.
Well, he deserves applause. Vinny Driscoll's going to be answering your phone calls today at 215-953-4979. We're going to be talking about how to close a deal. You've got clients who just won't sign on the dotted line. Call us. We'll help you out. 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, Joe, what are we going to give you?
$25 Visa gift card.
All right. So call us. Start dialing now. 215-953-4979. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
All right. Other than our call-in segment, Kathy has 8 ways to foster innovation in your own company.
No,
which
I don't.
Is
maybe 3.
Maybe 3. Okay.
Stop killing the joy, Kathy.
We have a new market to talk about. It's called the new mover market, so you'll want to stand by for that. 6 tips for getting booked as a radio, a talk radio guest.
Maybe 2.
Like, maybe 2. Okay, Kathy's going to give all of them to us.
Like on this show.
I think Kathy's still on vacation and perhaps still having margaritas.
I didn't have 1 margarita. I had many other things.
Okay, moving on.
Andy has something to nibble on here. There's a baby carrot marketing campaign that's gathering some buzz out there.
I'm nibbling.
He also has 7 ways to do more than with less. And pay attention today because this is week 3 of our contest. And later on, Melinda is going to give this week's word. And remember, you need to know the word for each week. And on the 14th, we're going to ask for callers. And we're going to ask you for the week. Give us the word. And you have the opportunity to win 1 of 4 fabulous prizes, including a Roomba, a digital camera.
A netbook.
And
a flip video.
A flip video camera.
Camera.
Now,
nice,
what happens,
Kathy?
Joe, if you've already missed one of the shows?
You can always go back and listen to it on our archives at asicentral.com/radio. All the shows are archived. Listen in and listen for those secret words of the week. Jot them down, because again, on the 14th, we're going to ask for callers for the word of the week. And all you got to do is tell us what that word is if you get through. And
lots of great prizes.
Great prizes.
I'd love to have that netbook.
Today's will be the third word
of
the week,
right? Want the
Roomba.
You knew
today's
it.
Today's is the third week.
This is our third week.
Yeah. So all you have to do, if you haven't before, if you didn't listen the last 2 weeks, listen to those archives, listen to today's word, and you're on your way.
And listen to next week's word. Next week is the last week's
but
word.
But before we get to any of that, we're going to start with the industry news in 60 seconds.
Go, Andy.
Andy Cohn.
I thought we were just talking about contests. Okay, we begin today with legislative news. California is set to become the first state to ban plastic bags from supermarkets and other retail stores. The state Senate, which is expected to pass the measure, is scheduled to vote on the ban today. The new law would take effect beginning in 2012 and would force all stores in the state to stop giving any plastic bags to customers. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has said he would sign the measure. We continue now with financial trouble for one distributor, Oriental Trading Company, which runs a variety of e-commerce sites and operates in the ad specialty market, as Fun Express has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The company will continue operating as it reorganizes and creates a financial plan to reduce its more than $500 million in liabilities. Check out Promogram today for more details. Counselor has just announced its annual list of best places to work in the ad specialty industry, headed up by Florida-based supplier firm DeCasso. The 2010 ranking is published in the September issue of Counselor and can be found right now online at www.counselormag.com. And Counselor top 40 distributor Halo Lee Wayne is going through a rebranding effort. As of January 1, 2011, it will be known as Halo Branded Solutions and will be dropping the Lee Wayne branding. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's on your radar?
We have a water conservation kit.
Water?
Water conservation kit. And actually, the user puts it in their toilet tank and they will use less water when they flush their toilets.
You're doing some toilet talk on
Joe's show? Actually, we have some more new products. A lot of eco-friendly products this Joe show.
All right, sounds good.
Oh, there
Thank
we go.
You.
Who's watching All in the Family?
Way to go, Steve Hawk.
All right, well, it's a perennial problem. Or is perennial the right word?
Yeah.
Problem.
Yeah.
It's a constant challenge for salespeople.
Consistent issue.
Consistent challenge for salespeople. How to get people to sign on the dotted line. If you're having problems closing a sale, give us a call now, 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, we will give you a Visa gift card. We've already got some callers. Let's start on line one with Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. And what's your challenge today, Chris?
Well, my problem is always pricing. I get so close with some clients, and then we get down to price and the back and forth, and it results in losing some sales. We get a few pennies away, but they still won't buy. Any help you can give me?
Andy Cohn, what do you do with price hagglers?
Well, I think the good news is that once you've gotten to that point, you actually have kind of closed that customer. You said that you're sort of losing some of the business, but if you're getting to the point where you're just negotiating pennies, this customer has agreed with you. So that's a good thing. I would say that you need a little bit more upfront agreement on pricing. If you're haggling at the very end over pricing, then that's an objection I would say that you need to handle probably earlier on in the sales process. So it's probably something you want to bring up along the line. You know, if these are good clients that you speak to all the time, then, you know, you want to discuss pricing probably more at the front of the process than at the end, when you're probably just looking for a signature and to fulfill the deal. But at the end, I would say that, you don't want to give in necessarily, but if they're bringing something up at the very end, then maybe you want to go back to previous conversations that you had with them about pricing.
Also, they may be nickel and diming you because they're looking at pricing from competitors who don't offer the same services mm-hmm. that you do, such as, you know, an online company that may not offer any services that you do. And I know we talk a lot of advantages, Kathy, about selling the value of your services and, you know, what else you provide mm-hmm. besides just products.
Yeah.
You know, what I would do is itemize everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the imprinting, the setup charges, the shipping, the creative, all that, itemize that. And if you go over that with the client, they might see that they're actually a lot closer to what they want. And again, they're not just looking at the bottom line, the price. They're seeing everything else that goes into that. And then ask them, you know, is there any areas here you would like us to trim?
Mm-hmm.
You know, quality control, you know, do you want to overnight it rather or two-day it rather than mm-hmm. overnight it or send it ground? You know, there's areas where they might not be willing to cut, and then they are going to realize.
Okay, so give them some options of where they can cut back.
Right, okay. And also tell them up front, too, that, look, you've worked to get them the lowest price wherever you can. So this is, you know, the bottom line.
Okay.
Yeah, but I wouldn't give in terms of margins. I mean, once you lower your margins and so that it's not worth your time, then the client's going to want that again and again, and it doesn't seem like it would be a profitable client for you at that point.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good luck, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And we're still taking your calls at 215-953-4979. On line two, we have Cherie. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning, guys.
Hi there, Cherie. What's your question today?
I seem to do a lot of work for clients, getting jobs bidded out, making proposals, getting spec samples, but I just can't get them to sign. How can I be more effective in closing these sales?
So these are new clients, not people that you've worked with in the past?
Yeah, some, most.
Yeah.
I think that one of the mistakes that salespeople make is that they don't actually ask for the sale. They're waiting for the client to say, okay, I'm going to buy. I mean, you have to ask for the sale. Anytime we do articles on closing sales and sales is that you have to actually ask for it.
I also think that you probably need a little more agreement throughout the whole process. If these are clients that you're working with over sort of a long sales process, then you want agreements which obviously aren't official, but you sort of want to ask for the deal almost along the whole process. So if you're sending spec samples, you want to ask them after they receive them, are these kind of things that you're looking for?
Exactly.
Does this fit what you're what the goals of your promotion are.
Right.
Ask these kind of closing type questions throughout the sales process so that when you get to the end and you're closing, it should just be a given almost.
Yeah, you need to make it clear that if they're happy with what you provide, that they're actually prepared to buy.
So I shouldn't just let them look over and you know, because I put some time into doing these things and getting them. Sometimes I don't want to pressure them because I don't want to be all salesy.
I understand that, but I think it's a better use of your time in a sense to be closing throughout the process rather than have a surprise at the end. If you go through a whole upfront sales process where you don't have a full handle on whether this client's going to buy or not and really sign on the dotted line,
and know what their budget is too.
Right, then you could be. You're not using your time as effectively as you want to use it.
You need to pre-qualify them just as much as they pre-qualify you.
Right.
And I agree with Andy. Questions all the way through the process are good. I mean, saying, you know, if they're asking you to do some work, saying things like, well, assuming that you're happy with the spec samples, you know, are you prepared to buy? And that, I don't think that's too forward at all.
No, I don't think so either. I think there's a sort of old saying in sales that by the time you get to the close point, it should be a given. You shouldn't have any surprise as to whether this is going to be a done deal or not. And if you are having that surprise, then I think maybe you're not doing the type of closing throughout the process that you might want to try to do.
So it sounds like I need to be maybe just a slightly more aggressive from the start.
Absolutely. Right. Through the whole process. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's aggressive per se. It's asking questions to make sure that they're satisfied with what you're providing so far.
And that you're all on the same page.
Exactly.
About everything.
You know,
okay.
So that you know their budgets, you know what their goals of their promotion is, goals of their promotion are, and that you know along the whole way that each service that you're providing is something that's leading to an end as opposed to, you know, maybe not.
And your time is very valuable, Cherie, too. So it's important that the client knows that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you guys so much.
Well, good luck and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we're still taking calls at 215-953-4979, but we are going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, Kathy's going to tell us how to foster innovation.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributor and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunity@iPromoteU.com.
We are back with ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, and we're talking now about how to foster innovation in your company. It's something everybody wants to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And Kathy, you don't have 8 tips, apparently, because you
criticize. I'll give you four. I'll give you four, and the rest
four
will be online.
Four ways to be more innovative. What do you have for us?
Well, the first is to let every employee play designer, not just the people that come up with the new products and the designs. A case in point is a company, pet accessory company, Westport Design. They had a case of collective writer's block. So they came up with a contest for the 36 employees. Everyone from salespeople to seamstresses were encouraged to spend an afternoon designing and producing prototypes for new products. And then
that's something suppliers in our industry could do with their staffers.
Right. And then at the end of the contest, everybody voted, and they crowned a winner at an award ceremony. And by making employees feel a part of the idea creation process, this pet company set up a new pipeline of product development.
That's awesome.
So that's a really good idea. Another company called Bright House provides lots of free time to think. In particular, they have they give their 18 staff members your days, 5 of them, your days, in which they are encouraged to visit a spot conducive to reflection. So they give them time off to just, like, think about, I guess, everything. Because
we need a little time for reflection.
Right.
Oh, you guys reflect all the time.
Well, their premise is that, like, people do their best thinking, like, you know, when you're in bed at night or in the shower. Like, you know, I come up with a lot of things in the shower. But it's true, though. You know, when you're not really,
okay,
you know, mindless activity, that's when you do your best.
There was an editor, actually, that Andy and I worked with in New York, Charlie Butler, who would just all of a sudden tell everyone to go walk around the city for the afternoon when, mm-hmm. in Manhattan, which walking around Manhattan, you can find a lot of interesting
things. And that's a great idea for distributors, too, because you get a lot of...
Of course, if I said walk around Trevose for the afternoon, which is like 1 square mile, I don't know that you all would get as many... inspirational ideas, but I could be wrong.
Probably not.
Well,
but
if you tell us to walk around the Chamonix Mall,
okay,
we'll get lots of ideas.
Absolutely.
That is a good idea for mm-hmm. any business to have people get out of the office and just, you know, clear your head and think of, you know, see things that could provide inspiration.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I'm sure for distributors that will give them plenty of ideas on promotional.
Definitely.
You know,
and the last one is to encourage risk-taking, which is on a similar note.
Yep.
The same company, Bright House, encourages each employee to do something he or she has never before attempted on a specific date, March 4th. But they call it March 4th, F-O-R-T-H. Get it? March 4th.
March
4th with a new activity, and then
very
that helps
creative.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great.
I like that idea.
All right. Well, you're going to have more ideas on fostering
more
innovation on our
online
website, asicentral.com/radio.
We should do March 4th. That is a great idea. I love that idea.
Mark it down.
Yeah. Well, March 4th. Mark down. Easy to remember.
All right. Here's some really good news for the whole industry. Andy's got some information on industries that have increased their advertising budgets this year. And an increase ad spending spells good things for marketing and promotional products.
It sure does. So if distributors are looking for industries to target, say, for the second half of the year or moving into 2011 even, here are some ideas. Kantar Media, which is an advertising research firm, just came out with their list of how industries spent their ad budgets compared to last year. And here are some increasers. So the first increase, which was about 8% ad spending over last year, was personal care products. Mm-hmm. A couple other industries that have increased their ad spending rather significantly into the double digits over 2009 are food and candy, household products, automotive, and government and organizations. So there are definitely opportunities out there, especially in the kind of personal care, home products. I think that those companies that are out there are seeing people maybe spending more time at home than they had been in the past. So are advertising and marketing their services and products to their audience. So that's a whole bunch of industries that are doing rather well as far as their ad budgets right now.
All right. Well, let's put up the whole article online for people to read as well.
We will do that.
And on the more good news front, Joe's got a new hot market to talk about.
That's right. They're called New Movers. This is a report done by Epsilon Targeting, and they are a company that provides consumer information for targeted marketing. And they, in this latest report, the number of Americans relocating climbed by 12% in the first 4 months of 2010. And this results in new spending behaviors and can be extremely lucrative for marketers. However, the thing that everyone needs to consider is that the window is very small, so you need to get in and be quick. And they provided some stats here, and there's 10 states that were the biggest winners for growth. Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Texas, Arizona, Nevada, and Washington. So everyone's moving to those states. And the biggest losers are New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, and there's more than 10 here, Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, and California. So everyone's moving out of those states. But what that does, that opens up a market for more advertising for this industry. So they say track the moving van. So in other words, early detection of when people will be moving is crucial. So clients out or distributors out there need to go to their moving clients, whether they're long haulers, short haulers, U-Haul type companies. They need to do promotions if they want to get that business. Another stat, curtains, yes, they say. The biggest chunk of the first quarter spending, 33%, is earmarked for home decor. So people are moving into a new area. They have to decorate a new apartment, a new house and stuff. So again, there's the opportunity for the distributor is for home type stores, you know, the IKEA type stores, you know, smaller stores, boutique stores. They need to promote in order for these people, Home Depot. Yeah. That's the other one. Don't forget about the do-it-yourselfers.
That's the other one.
The do-it-yourselfers. Tools and electronic sales climb right after a move to 23%. So again, there's an opportunity for promotions, you know, get your hammers with us, get your saws with us, get your drills with us. So, you know, there's
I didn't hear that last word. Get your what with
saws. It? Saw. A saw. You know, to
and
cut
then
wood.
You said something else.
Drills.
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 Okay, drills. Thank you.
Drill hole.
Thanks. Now that we cleared that up.
There's opportunity out there in the new mover market, and it's from people moving out of states and people moving into states. And
how about paint?
The window paint would be another one that would be home decor.
Lots of painting that goes on new houses.
I think there's some interesting news there, though, for distributors with real estate agent clients.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are you know, those people are absolutely looking for ways to stand out from the crowd, which is very crowded. So that real estate agent market, you know, everybody hears about how the housing market hasn't done well, but real estate agents are actually a very good target for distributors.
Well, and some of this is probably the residual effects from that, the first-time home buyers
tax credit.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that expired in June.
No, it expired, but everyone's moved into the homes now, and now they're looking to do some of the things
spruce
that Joe talked
up.
About.
Right.
Yeah.
So now is the time, but you're right, strike fast.
Yes, it is.
Strike
because
fast.
The window's
going
to open
hot.
And it's going to close.
Strike while the iron's hot. I
not necessarily.
I
don't know that it's going to close per se. I mean, the housing market, while certainly struggling right now, it's not going away. People are always buying and selling
homes and
moving.
And interest rates are phenomenal.
Interest
all-time
rates are
low.
Ridiculously low.
Yeah.
That's true. So the mortgage market. That's one that's good.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much, Joe. So everybody wants to be on the radio, of course, right?
Yes.
You should have had that Donna Summer song at the ready, Steve.
Oh,
on the radio.
It's going to take a
while. You want me to sing it?
Yeah, sing it.
Sing it, Kathy. Come on.
Okay. Kathy, you have tips for getting booked as a talk radio guest.
Yes.
What do you have?
Well, first of all, you have to tie your message to current hot news because, of course, radio stations want to, you know, they're all about the biggest buzz, what people are talking about, what's the media saying. So keeping up with the news is important because talk radio is all about current events. And on that note, never pitch yourself or your product. The pitch letter to radio hosts and producers should focus on the issue about which you are an expert.
Sure.
Or the problem which your product addresses. They're interested in what you can do to inform and entertain their listeners, not in helping you. Write a kick-ass pitch. That's what
important.
It says. Mm-hmm. The quality of your pitch will have everything to do with your success in getting booked, which makes sense. So you make sure your headline is enticing, and the text of your release should elaborate on the subject matter and the on-air conversation you'd be able to engage in.
But make it short.
Make it short.
One page.
Right. Yeah. Or less.
Or less.
And also, you find contact info for these radio shows on their websites. Just look for the Contact Us page, and then you'll know who to send your pitch to.
All right, so good
there
tips
you go.
From Kathy.
We can all be on radio.
Yeah, well, this is kind of like what Barbara Corcoran, you know, used to do.
Yeah, right,
you know,
like, exactly.
You provide yourself as an expert, mm-hmm. and you get immediate PR for your company
sure.
and your mm-hmm. firm. So as a distributor, you know.
And you know what? It doesn't really take that much to position yourself as an expert in something, in your little niche.
Well, obviously, all of our listeners are experts in promotional products
right.
industry and how companies use them. And mm-hmm. there's, as we know, lots of good things you can tie into the news there. I mean, this summer, the Census Bureau used a ton of promotional
right.
products. Someone could be an expert on that who was involved in those
mm-hmm.
campaigns.
And then
there's
like right now
something.
With the political market heating up too, somebody who's an expert in promoting
yep.
politicians or whatever, you know,
can go to their local media and say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm providing promotional products.
Right.
A political campaign, I've noticed these three trends.
Yeah.
Boom. Someone's
exactly.
going to pick you up.
Right
now, back to school.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Put a list
there's
together of the top 10 back to school promotional
right.
items and
yep.
send it out, and suddenly
same
you're,
with
you're an expert.
Fall football tailgating,
mm-hmm.
tailgating
mm-hmm.
items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had this summer, someone could have done something on company picnic items. So
right.
there's always something to talk about.
Holiday
with promotional
gifts.
Products.
You
exactly.
know, top holiday gifts, something like that.
All good ideas. Joe Haley, you're on ASI Radio, but you were on a radio talk show earlier this year in L.A., weren't you?
Yes, I was.
What were you the expert on? I think, oh, it
he
was.
He forgets.
No, it was eco-friendly. It was Earth Day.
It was Earth Day.
Eco-friendly products, and they interviewed you live to talk about
right.
the elephant poop journal that
yes.
we had written about in the magazine.
And it was just like all of a sudden, it was spur of the moment. Carol says, I got some radio station from California who's got a question about the elephant poop, you know, journal that we sent out in the press release. I said, all right, you know. I didn't know I was going to go on there. So we go on there with us? I'm like, sure.
And there you were.
It was like,
live in L.A.
Yeah,
but you're morning drive.
You're usually
wacky
so shy.
Those wacky morning zoo shows, you know. And it's like they were just – they thought it was the coolest thing, this elephant poop journal.
It is the coolest thing.
They want to know if it smelled.
You get talked about. It did not. It does not. Yes, I heard you say that to them. All right, moving on. Now, I don't understand. This next segment says baby carrot marketing campaign. Is it carrots for babies? Is it little carrots?
I will explain.
Please do. Enlighten all of us,
just
Andy.
In time for back to school, as we said. A few companies that produce those small carrots.
So they're small
baby
carrots.
Not carrots pureed for food for babies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They are banding together and coming up with a new ad and marketing campaign. They put $25 million into the effort. These have never really been promoted before, and they're doing a lot of interesting things, and a lot of it has to do with packaging, actually. They're creating almost like small potato chips or Doritos-like bags of baby carrots, and they're distributing them at schools and trying to make
popular
baby carrots
lunch item
essentially cool, and that's what they're looking at. So they're also being sold out of some school vending machines in test cities, and they're sporting great slogans on marketing pieces and billboards. One of the slogans is, quote, "the original orange doodles."
Uh-huh.
So they're sort of comparing themselves almost to, like, potato chips and cheese doodles,
right,
and snacks that are
Doritos
more fun, say, for the little guys at school. And they're trying to make themselves cool as well. Mm-hmm. So good luck to the baby carrot world.
All right. Thanks, Andy, for that riveting segment on baby carrots.
I love baby carrots.
Well, then, I guess you
believe
that.
Well, then it's aimed at you guys. You guys can get those little 99-cent bags.
And Shane likes them in his lunch.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, then it's perfect for you. You're set.
All right, we're all trying to do more than less with less, and not
yeah,
more
we're
than
trying to do more than less.
We are trying to do more than less
and stretch our dollars. So, Andy, you're going to give us some tips on how to do more with less right now.
I'm back, away from baby carrots, and
yes,
do more with less. So, as you said, companies are trying to go further with their budgets, and here are some ways to do that, which these don't necessarily cost anything, in fact. The first way is to connect with your community. Make sure you're reaching out to organizations in the community and using it as a true networking outlet for your business so that you can find as many leads as possible. The second is to become a specialist. We've talked a lot on the show about targeting specific markets. You know, if you're more of a generalist, then choose a couple of sectors in your local economy that are growing, that are doing as much marketing as they can, you know, that you see in the local newspapers that are marketing and advertising, and target those, whether it's, you know, hospitals or healthcare or education. You know, schools are obviously big right now, but whatever sector you see in your market, become the expert and try to, you know, become the sort of promotional branding expert for that sector in your market. And third is to ramp up service. You know, as a small business, you really have the advantage of being able to offer more personalized service. So really do that and do it with every customer. Get as close to their business and their personal lives as possible so that you know what their needs are and so that you know what they're looking for out of your services, and really get, you know, almost intimately involved in their businesses.
Good tips from Andy Karen, a.k.a.
Andy
the baby.
Karen?
Andy Karen.
Who's he? Who's
this Andy Cohen?
Who's this Andy Karen?
AKA
character?
The baby carrot.
Melinda's still on vacation, too.
I am.
All right, guys, listen up because now is time for the word of the day. Are you ready for this?
Ooh.
We need a drum roll. The word of the day is dachshund. Otherwise known as dash hound. Let's all spell it together. D A C H S H U N D. Wow, we lost a few people there. All right, so the word of the day is dachshund.
I have barking.
Yes.
How many H's did you put in that word?
D A C H.
That sounds like ruckus.
H U N D. Two H's.
Okay. Sounded like there was a few extra H's in there, but
I have two dachshunds at home, so
yes,
that's the lucky word of the day. Be sure to remember it so you can win your Roomba and a value of other prizes. And Joe, it appears that there's a neckwear revival going on. However, you're not wearing a tie today.
I am not.
So what's going on?
By this revival, though, I'm sure.
So what's going on? So Brooks Brothers sent out this email blast that sent receivers to a new section on its homepage dedicated to neckties. And the page has a history slideshow tutorial on how to do six different knots, Andy.
Oh, that's
six,
cool.
I only know two different knots.
I didn't know there were six knots.
I know the Windsor and the four in hand. I don't know anything else.
Which one do you prefer?
I prefer the four in hand. Oh, okay. I like them a lot better. Okay. Well, suit sales were up in 2009, which is surprising. Tie sales were down 18%. And sales were $4.8 million, which is way down from $1 billion in tie sales in the 90s. And, of course, people are attributing this to corporate casual. Right now, they did a study. Only 6% of men are wearing ties to work. So Brooks Brothers is trying to bring the tie back. Okay. And there's good news, though. In the UK, a new trend is afoot, Andy. They're calling it smart casual wear. More men now are starting to wear ties to work. It makes them look more professional in the hopes that they'll be seen as more professional in the workplace and not get sacked. So, you know, that trend could come over to here where guys want to start wearing more ties.
Remember you guys did Necktie Tuesday? What happened to that? I think it's time for a revival.
Yeah, it could. So, and maybe that would help sales of neckties, you know, at Brooks Brothers.
Maybe that'll keep you from getting sacked.
So, yes. So, you know, that's what it said.
Let's get that trend afoot here.
Anyway, Brooks Brothers trying to increase the sale of neckties. That could, if that happens, it could mean good news for distributors who could sell corporate ties with logos on them. And that doesn't have to be an all-over logo. It could be a very
subtle
tone-on-tone logo in the silk tie. So
there you have it. Well, thank you very much, Joe.
You're quite
welcome.
And
it looks like we have just enough time for a Joe Haley rant.
Oh, my God.
Joe, what do you have to get off your chest?
My God.
I'm exasperated.
Yes,
I'm exasperated.
You look exasperated.
I know it's this war, this battle. I'm at war in my neighborhood.
Oh goodness!
Here we go again with the war.
Squirrels, and they are winning. They are winning. I think that this is my Waterloo. Everyone knows what that is.
Mm-hmm. Waterloo. Oh, sorry, that's an Abba song.
Not the Abba song.
All right, go ahead.
It's just they are. They mock me.
Are you like the guy in Caddyshack?
Yes,
with
but that was groundhogs.
Right.
Yeah, blowing any. I'm not trying to kill them. I just want them out of there. I want them out of my shed. I want them to stop stealing my tomatoes. Okay, they're stealing my tomatoes. And now what they do, they sit on this branch in the tree in the backyard, and they make this screeching sound at me. At least it looks like it's at me. They just like, what is it? At first I thought it was birds. I see it's a squirrel up there. And I've seen them a few days in a row doing that when I'm outside. So
I bet they only do it to you.
Probably. I mean, they are mocking me.
There's stuff out there you can buy that could.
Well, that's my last resort. I think I'm going to get rid of the trap, and I'm just going to go.
I hope Pete is not listening.
No, I'm not killing anything. I don't want to kill them.
I just want them out of my shed and stuff.
But there's stuff that goes critter ritter, and you sprinkle it around, and they don't like the smell of it, and you chase them away. But it stinks.
It stinks. Oh. I've put that stuff out. It stinks.
Steve has too, and I told him never do that again.
Yeah, it really stinks.
So anyway, if any of you squirrels are listening out there.
if anyone has any tips for Joe Haley.
Yes. Send them to Jay Haley at ASI Central.
Squirrel control.
I'm telling you. It's just.
Radio at ASI Central.
I'm about to raise the white flag and, you know.
Let your tomatoes go.
All right, on that note, we are out of time today. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And be sure to tune in next week when we have another Word of the Week. You can win some valuable prizes, plus Kathy Houston will talk about how to respond to bad online publicity.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and have a great week.